hope you're sitting comfortably because we're going to look at stories today. You know, stories are powerful. They really are. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to have a series about stories. And we're going to look at the power of stories, the dynamic of stories, and why our story is important. And that's what we're going to look at today. And next week, we're going to look at how do we share stories and how do we grow stories. And the week after, Rach Calland will be here and she'll be teaching us about our God-shaped story. And so I don't know about you, but I am so excited. Holy Spirit, you are clearly here. Thank you that you are already working. And I pray that you would use my voice to bring glory to your story, to reveal your character. Thank you that you write us into your story. Amen. Honestly, I am excited today. Do you know, stories are super, super powerful. And you only have to look at our world to know just how important stories are, and that the world already knows it and is using stories all the time to communicate to you and to shape your beliefs and to shape how you live. And so you only have to look at Netflix. Honestly, who's ever watched a series and they're just one more series, just one more episode, and have found Netflix consume your days? Honestly, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, I wonder if my life is worth following like that. I wonder if my arms, that was such a challenge to me. Are people watching me going, I wonder what happened to that girl? Just one more glimpse. Just one more glimpse. You now only have to look at social media, Facebook, Instagram. I'm getting old, so I don't even know all the new forums, but they all have things that say, add it to your storyline, to your storyboard. That they all have things like that. What are you adding to your storyline? What are you adding to your storyboard? You know, if you look at history, wars have been shaped by stories. Leaders have taken things like propaganda to shape what people believed. Honestly, stories are powerful. And I feel like the challenge I want to bring to us as Christians, as people who say we follow Jesus, are we using our story to glorify God? How are we using our story? Are we giving voice to our story? Some of us have been silent too long, and we have used things like false humility to hide behind. And so I need to be careful because I'm here next week as well. And so I need to be careful I don't preach next week's message today. And so I'm going to go back to my notes. But you know, history has been shaped by the stories that have been passed down from one generation to another. And I'm originally from South Africa, and a large part of my childhood, I lived in a region called Natal. And in Natal, the local tribe is called Zulus. And honestly, I love the Zulu tribe. I love some of their traditions. I love the artistry that goes with the tribe. And so I had a lot of friends that were Zulus, and they taught me a lot of their traditions. They passed it down to me. And one of the most beautiful things that the Zulu tribe do is they have something called Zulu love letters. And so I'm going to bring this picture up. Honestly, I mean, I really mean it when I say I love it. If you come to our house, we have these things everywhere. These Zulu love letters on our coasters, and they kind of litter our house. Honestly, these love letters, what happens is every color represents something. Every shape means something. And so what they do is these beautiful works of art tell a story. And so when a Zulu bride gets married, she puts all these things on, and they're a love story from one generation to another. Don't you think that's beautiful? So these are called Zulu love letters. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, it says this: "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all." Your life is a love letter written so that people would know it and people would read it. I wonder what your letter says. I wonder what your letter says. Do you know, if you have ever mourned somebody, your letter may be a letter to somebody else to say that Jesus is a comfort. If you've ever been sick and been healed, your letter of your life might be a letter to somebody else saying, he is a healer. Do you know, I was once, many, many years ago, in a very, very abusive relationship. And so my letter of my life and part of my responsibility is when I sit with somebody who has been through domestic violence, is I can sit with them and say, do you know what? God is a healer. He restores. He strengthens. And the Bible says that what the enemy steals from you, he's made to pay back tenfold. And I can tell you, my life now is tenfold what was taken. That's what my letter says. You know, in Psalm 78, I'm going to read verses 4 to 7. Excuse me if my voice is a bit croaky. it's taken from the Message. This is a wisdom poem. It is the history of Israel. It says, we're not keeping it. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob. He set his word firmly in Israel. Then he commanded our parents to teach it to their children so that the next generation would know and all generations to come. They would know the truth and tell the stories so that their children would trust in God. That's what we've been asked to do. Do you know why our story is important? Because they're powerful. And history demonstrates just how powerful stories are. And our present demonstrates just how powerful stories are. So why should we share them? Because the Bible says so. Jesus, God himself says so. He says, so that the next generation would know. We're not keeping this to ourselves. This isn't a secret to be kept. Another verse says, you don't have a light to then hide it under a basket. This isn't a secret to be kept. And some of us have said, well, I don't want to boast. I don't want to, you know, draw attention to myself. Well, who's the author of your story? He says he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the author. And so when I boast, I boast of the good things that he has done. When Dan was up here speaking about all those things that happened in Counter, I didn't hear Dan saying, look what we have done. I heard, look how amazing God is. Look at the lives he's touched. Look at the transformation he's brought. Jesus was, you know, for so many years I used to apologize that I was a storyteller. I kind of felt like it was, and my husband's laughing because he knows it's true. I was like, do you want to hear a story? I was like, kind of used to be quite embarrassed by it. But you know what? Jesus was the greatest storyteller. In fact, he taught often through parables. So he would take a story and show you a hidden teaching. And the Bible is full of stories, history stories, poems, songs, prophetic words. The Bible is full of these things. Why should we share our story? Because I believe it is the essence of being a disciple. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus. And if you are a disciple of Jesus, I believe it is your responsibility and my responsibility, because it is the essence of discipleship to tell a story, to tell his story. You know, last week, Rach, if you haven't heard it, you really need to. It was an incredible message about serving. And what she said is that we lay our life down. You know, some of us are so private, and we're like, I don't want to lay our life down. I believe that actually that's part of serving God, is that you lay your life before others so they can see his work. We shine a light, not on our deeds, but what he's done through us and in us. Stories are powerful, and we need to share them because it is a responsibility of discipleship. It really is. Why do we need to share stories? Because they're powerful. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says this. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Honestly, it is important. I would say it's as far as it's a matter of life and death that you share your story. We believe and therefore we must speak. There are people in your world who will never get to know Jesus unless you speak. They won't ever get to know him unless you speak. Did you know for some people, you are the closest they will ever be to Jesus? It is not. We're not keeping this a secret, and it is not something to be hidden. It is something that we should be telling the story of and passing it down from generation to generation to generation so that our children will know, so that they will believe in God and trust in him. It's the essence of being a follower of Jesus. Honestly, some of us are like, oh, I don't really think it's for me. Well, actually, if you are a follower of Jesus, it is. Because if you believe, God himself is asking you to share. That's how the church was formed. There was some disciples. Don't you ever wonder, like, I'm preaching next week's message. I'll have to think about what I'm going to say next week. But here we go. Don't you ever wonder how they knew Jesus was coming when you read the Bible? They've got no printing press. There's no alert going on the phone going, just a reminder, don't forget, Jesus is arriving. There's no Facebook. There's no news. Like, how did they know he was coming? Often when he'd arrive at a village, there's a large crowd gathering. How did they know? How did they know? How did they know he was a healer? How did that woman who had an issue with bleeding know to push past the crowd and push everything aside that told her, you know what, this is not a good idea? How did she know that just touching his garment would bring her healing? How did she know? Because somebody was healed. You know, there was a guy who was possessed, and he used to scratch himself and all kinds of things, and Jesus healed him. And then he said to Jesus, can I come with you? And Jesus said, no, go home and tell your friends and your family what I have done for you. Go home. From today, what do? When you hear about the goodness of God, what do? Do you just knock it up? Oh, well, that's a good one to remember. Do you tell someone? When you meet a teenager, you look a little lost. Well, do you know what? I know there's a place that there are people who believe in you already, who are praying for you already. Do you know, it's called Live Free. Let me introduce you to somebody. Honestly, what are you doing? What are we doing? What am I doing with the beautiful truth of Jesus? I believe why we share stories is because it is a command. Go out into all the world. It is a command. Do you know, it's funny. It's funny. I'm going to share a few of my childhood memories today. I've got to tell you, they don't paint me in a great light. So we just need to concentrate on the fact that I'm sharing them because I'm telling you about practicing stories. So let's just bear that in mind, okay, as I share one or two stories with you. But I've been going through the motions of writing down a few of my memories. And do you know, I found it really strange. Why, I don't know, maybe this is just how my brain works, but I'm kind of thinking about, why do I remember some things and forget others? Doesn't that ever, and sometimes I remember the weirdest stuff. Like, you know, some things we remember because they had a powerful impact in our life. And so we remember them because of that. But think back to your, like, your childhood. Like, I remember weird stuff. Like, you know what I mean? I remember once, this is a little gross, and I'm surprised I'm about to share it, but anyway, we'll move past it. I remember once, I must have been in reception or something like that, and a little boy sneezed on his book. This is gross. And he showed it to his teacher, and the whole class were disgusted about what was on his book. Why do I remember that? Like, really, that's bizarre. Like, I was trying to think, like, Siobhan, because I wasn't planning on sharing that. I was trying to think, like, Siobhan, what's the God story in that? Like, I don't know, but that why have I remembered that? And you know, as I was pondering about why do we remember some things and why don't we remember others, I felt God put it upon my heart to say, it is because have you retold that story? And I thought, yeah, I have. I actually have told, you know, my sister and other people that I was once in class and those boys need those stories. Actually, I remember the things that I have retold. You know, it says, it won't come up, but it's in Proverbs 18:21, and it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap of the consequences. I'm going to read it again because it's not up on the screen. But I kind of felt, oh, I love to talk. Oh, dear. Like, I was like, let's be reading this again. Let's just make sure we really understand what it's saying. So it says, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences of. I was like, is this a verse to tell me to be quiet? Oh, dear. Like, what is this verse telling me? And actually, it says, it's death or life, and you will reap the consequences. In another verse, it says, it produces fruit, and you will eat the fruit of it. And so if you're speaking death, you're going to reap the consequences of it. And if you're speaking life, you're going to reap the consequences of it. And so actually, this is not saying be quiet. It is saying be careful what you bring breath to. And so there are some things that I remember because I've either retold it to myself or to others. And I think in, you know, I'm 40 next year. Wow, that came up quick. But in those 40 years, there have been so many days, but there are only a handful I remember. And those that I remember are the things that I have put life, that I have spoken again. And you know, what is really pushed upon my heart is to think about what are the things that we're putting life into. What are the things we're putting life into? There are some things that I don't believe we should be speaking. If we're going to master the art of storytelling. I'm going to read, I don't know why I brought it up, but I've got this great devotional that I read. It's very artsy. If you're not artsy, you won't like it, okay? Just telling you that. But it's called Cultivate, and it's by a group of guys called Cageless Birds, and I love it. And in here, there's an article, there's a story that a guy writes. And basically, his father was a carpenter. And so he remembers his father coming in, and he would literally do this. For anybody listening, he'd like pat himself, and all this dust would kind of come off him, and he would smell the sawdust, and that would always remind him of his father. And so his father would then take him fishing, and they would sit on the riverbank, and he would, with all the twinkling lights as the sun was setting, he would say, oh, I built that house, and you see that house I built, their extension. And he would show them all, and his son would be amazed and wonder about all the spaces that families are now living in and enjoying because of the spaces his father's created. And later on, as an adult, his father's now passed away, but he still is a carpenter himself, and he likes to whittle things in his personal time. And so he says that he's in his garage, and he's whittling something with wood. And I love this. This is what it says. I follow the grain as it guides the shape and shows me what to take away and what to leave. The non-essential slowly disappears to reveal a certain layer of beauty never seen before. The parallel of this to my heart and the identity is quite obvious to me. Do you know what? To master the art of storytelling, I believe we have to master the art of knowing what it is to take away and what it is to leave. Do you know, there were things that have been spoken over my life Do you know, one of the most, I'm going to say it now, but I used to speak this to myself all the time. One of the things that was quite a horrible thing that was spoken of me, and it was a lie, was no one will ever want to hear anything you've got to say. Don't you think that's funny? Like, genuinely, don't you think that's funny? I thought of that this morning, and I thought, just look around, that's funny. You know, that's funny. But I used to say that to myself all the time. No one is ever going to want to hear anything you've got to say. And every time I felt the urge to encourage someone, or every time I thought, oh, actually, I might have something to add here, that line would come back to me. No one is ever going to want to hear anything you've got to say. And you know what? For a long time, I would repeat back all the things that, when I was in this domestic violence relationship, I would repeat back to myself all those terrible things that were spoken over me. And I would give voice to it. And then I would wonder why my life was not flourishing, why I wasn't getting free. Because I'm speaking death. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Be careful what you are speaking. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox, because I tried this in the lounge and then it was like 20 minutes later. So I'm just going to mention it and I'll remind myself that I said that and stop. But you know what? Gossip, the Bible says in Proverbs that a fire without wood goes out. Do you know a fire needs oxygen to live? And I would say to us that we need to stop feeding oxygen to gossip, because it doesn't build, it doesn't encourage, and it has life. And don't forget, we will reap the consequences. So sometimes we're having unseen conversations and we think it doesn't really matter. There's some things we need to grow out of and decide what kind of character we're going to have. You know, you see something on Facebook or on Instagram and you take a screenshot, and then you have this private little conversation on your phone, go, did you see what she just showed? And you think, it doesn't matter. What harm am I doing? The power of life and death. There are some things we shouldn't be putting life to. Just like this art, I just love that story. What are you going to whittle away? What are you going to leave? We need to decide the things that we bring life to, the breath of life. We need to choose. Practice makes perfect. Have you ever heard that saying? Practice makes perfect. So I kind of thought we all breathe, don't we? Everybody take a deep breath in with me. Let's just prove the point. We all breathe. Breathe out. Some of us have mastered the art of breathing. Some of us have not. I don't know if you've ever been to a Pilates class, okay? It hinges on breathing. So what you do is you go there and you're all in your gym clothes and I'm like, woohoo, this is going to be great. And so I'm lying down on the mat on the floor and everyone's like, breathe in, okay? And then it's just like, they say these weird things like, hold your diaphragm in while you breathe out, or hold your chest in. And I'm like, I don't think I have the muscles that she's talking about. And all the people around me are going, oh, that was killing. Oh, will the exercise end? I'm like, I don't really get what they're talking about here. You know, we go back in the changing room and all these ladies are like, oh, my life, wasn't that tough? And I don't think I'll be able to breathe, or I'm feeling all these muscles. And I'm like, oh, I don't really know what, yeah. Oh, wow, what a workout. Oh. So I went to one Pilates class because I did not get the art of breathing. I just didn't get it. A friend of mine is swimming, for many years, I honestly have loved swimming. And she said, Siobhan, if I could just crack my breathing, I know that I'll just be able to swim so much further. And you know, I kind of feel like that about running. Really, I do. If I could just crack how to breathe while I'm running, you know, I'm like, because when people run past me, not that I run often, when people run past me, I'm like, I can't crack the art. And so sometimes I think we'll look at people and we'll go, they are gifted in storytelling. That's their gift. They're gifted. Actually, I believe we all have the gift of storytelling. But some of us have practiced. Some of us have practiced the art of storytelling. Just like we all breathe in and out, some of us can actually breathe in and out well and efficiently. And so I'm going to tell you a story. I've kind of debated whether I would tell this story a few times. So don't forget, we're mastering the art of storytelling. And so often people would say to me, Siobhan, you're a really good storyteller. You're just gifted. And I am gifted at storytelling. That's taken me a long time to be able to say that. Because I was like, is that prideful? No, that's honoring to God. I am made in God's image. And He is the greatest storyteller of all. The Bible is the most amazing love story. Honestly, He's the greatest storyteller. So I'm like, okay, I am a good storyteller, but I have been telling stories since I was little. I have had a lot of practice. I really have. And so I'm going to show you some pictures. This first picture is... So that's me bending down. That's my little sister, and that's my mom in the yellow tracksuit. She's going to hate that I showed this picture. But anyway, we'll move down. She's like, a yellow tracksuit. How would she know in years to come? I'd be showing it to many. So this is actually, we lived in a place called Achanes, which is in the middle of the Kalahari Desert. And after the spring rains, if you look at the mountains, there's nothing, right? Nothing. And then after the spring rains, all these Mimaculan flowers would just suddenly burst into life. Do you know what's amazing? Is honestly, if you walked in the desert before the rains, you would think there is no life here. Some of us look at the desert areas of our life and we think nothing could ever grow here. No good could ever come here. Do you know what? Nature glorifies His name. Nature says that He can actually make beautiful things grow in deserts. The things that you think are wastelands, those areas in your life that you think nothing ever could good could come from that, I'm telling you, I can testify to the contrary. So we're going to show you another picture. That's my sister, Kara. She's super cute. So yeah, that's Kara. And the next picture, that's me. Don't you love the fringe? Come on now. Yeah, great fringe, isn't it? I could wear it back then. That's me. And this is the road into Achanes. So when I say not a lot happened there, okay, let me tell you, this is the road into Achanes. And so you can see Black Mountain. It's a mining town, and that's where my parents worked. Pofada and Springbok were sort of your biggest places nearby. But Achanes, not a whole lot happened. That's the town, by the way, that you can see. So that I'm just telling you, that's the town you can see. This is me and my sister in our garden. If you just keep this picture on for a second, Shauna, what's interesting is you can see a picture like that. And this is a letter. This is a letter that was written in my heart. Do you see the fence behind me? I actually, not long after this picture was taken, I climbed over the fence. And there was a piece of wire hanging, which I rested my foot on. And the wire sprung up and sliced through my eye. And I lived in the middle of the Kalahari Desert. So I had to be flown by air to Cape Town, where they basically did cutting-edge surgery, where they gave me a corneal transplant. And it is a miracle that I didn't lose my eye. It is a miracle. Did you see where I was? Did you see where I was? Like, and so I actually wanted to show my friend my Christmas tree. And so I sliced my eye. My carer's going, Siobhan, you don't look good. I'm like, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And then all this liquid came out. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not good. So I climbed back over the fence to go back home. Yeah, wow, slow learner. Slow learner. Anyway, but the power of God is that you can be in the middle of nowhere and He can get you to where you need to be. Some of you are looking around your life and you think, I don't know how I'm going to get to where God needs me to be. That's not down to you. That's not down to you. He is the author and the perfecter. And He honestly, do you know how many children have asked me about my eye and how many times I've been able to proclaim, one, listen to your parents. Yeah, seriously. My mom always told me never to climb that fence. So one, your parents do know what they're talking about. But I would then tell them about how God healed me and saved my eye. That's honestly, it's incredible. So anyway, the next picture, I kind of told you the good stories first so that you wouldn't then judge me about this story. Don't forget, it's the art of storytelling. So I remember, this is a mulberry tree. just over there to the right. I knew there was a swing, and we used to play for hours under this mulberry tree. I loved the series of when we were talking about from caterpillar to butterfly, because we used to pick all the caterpillars off this tree and then put them in, like, you know, boxes, you know, ice cream boxes and things like that, and watch them spin cocoons, and then we would release the moths, much to my mom's disgust. So anyway, but I knew there was a swing, and when I looked at this photograph, you can't see it very clearly, but there is just sort of a yellow thing just underneath the branch, and that's a swing. And so my sister and I would swing on this for hours and hours. Okay, I'm getting to the bad bit now. So just remember, like, you love me. There's no judgment here. So then I would say to Kara, Kara's my sister, so she would be swinging, and I actually wanted the swing, and she's been on it far too long. So I would go behind the garage, just the garage wall, and I would put on my best God voice that I knew. I'd be like, Kara, this is bad. This is God speaking. Go make Siobhan a drink. And then I'd come back round, you know, like I didn't say anything. And she'd say, oh, Siobhan, do you want a drink? Yeah, that would be fantastic. Thanks. And off she'd go and she'd make me a drink. I'd be like, yeah, I got the swing. And then she'd come back and she'd give me the drink. I love telling that story. My sister hates it. She wishes that I wouldn't speak life into that story anymore. But I love it. Do you know, children love telling stories. They love telling stories. Some of us have lost that art, but the gift is still there. The gift is still there. We have to fan it into flame. You have to do it because lives depend on it. Honestly, lives depend on it. There are some people there who are so broken. They're like me in that domestic abuse, and they're waiting for somebody to say, I know a healer. I know a restorer. It is not a secret to be kept. The last picture I want to show you is this is a picture. It'll come up, I think, in a moment. It is a picture of my earliest memory. It's me as a little girl wearing a white dress with blue piping. And if it doesn't come on, that's okay. But honestly, this is as far back as my mind will go. It is my first memory. And in Achenes, in that town that we were in, there was this little, I think it was a park, but it's just like a dust field. And at that dust field, there was a church. And honestly, this is my first memory. I went as a little four-year-old, five-year-old girl wearing this white dress with blue piping into this church, and it was empty. And I remember sitting on the pew, and I remember sitting there just chatting to God, just chatting to him. Oh, this is it. This is the dress. I searched high and low for this photograph because I knew it. I was like, have I made this up? I remember the dress. I remember the blue piping. And I remember going into a church, and there was nobody there. And I remember the coolness, because we lived in the desert. You've got to know how hot the desert is. The coolness of the room. And, you know, like, because my legs are so short, so, like, you know, they just kind of stood out in front of me, and I sat on the pew. And I remember just chatting away to God. And then I left, and there was a chap who was taking care of the church who just kind of gave me a nod. And do you know what? I didn't feel like I needed to apologize for being there. I didn't feel like, you know, I should have been embarrassed, or where was I? I was in my father's house. You know, when people share about how they came, where's the first time you met Jesus? And some people have the most amazing stories. A dear friend of mine actually gave her life to Christ in front of 15,000 people. Stories are not for comparison. They're not for comparison. Each is unique, and each is beautiful, and each tells about the character of God. And so her meeting Jesus in front of 15,000 people tells me that he sees the one in a crowd. And my story of being on my own, I mean, honestly, for years, you know, when people say, who wants to meet Jesus? I would keep putting my hand up because I thought it wasn't wow enough of a story. You know, I kind of thought it needed to be dun, 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 you know, kind of moment. But my story of when I met Jesus when I was 4, and I just toddled into a church and chatted to him. When you start to compare your stories, you will rob yourself of the joy that is meant to be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And by comparing, you're taking away, you're corroding the strength of that story. So the thousands standing in front of 15,000 people meeting Jesus for the first time is as powerful as a little girl on her own in church encountering the presence of God. Because he says, I see you in a crowd, but you don't need a crowd for me to speak to you.